Gospel according to Luke, the third chapter. As the people were filled with expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them, saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus had also been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved, and with you I am well pleased." The Gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Okay, so today I have with me my handy dandy identity box. It's not very pretty, I know. However, if you ask me who I am, I would probably answer you with things that are in this box. First of all, I think I'll set it on the floor. First of all, here is my passport. It tells you that I'm a citizen of the United States, and if you looked inside, you know that I really like to travel. Here's my Bible. That tells you that I'm a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ. Here, now you probably can't see too well, is a picture of my family. It tells you that I have three sons and their spouses. I have five wonderful grandchildren that call me Nana, and I have three grand dogs. That's my family. Next, here, this is my ELCA card that says, "I'm a pastor in the Lutheran Church." Now I put parens after that and put, say, retired. And this is one of my workout weights. It tells you that I'm a little bit strong, like to work out and value fitness, but also because of lifting weights, I have really strong bones. And finally, my Medicare card. Yeah, that tells you that I did the 65 birthday already, that I'm glad that all the candles didn't set the house on fire, and it's a good thing. So that's me. And they're good. Those are some things that are good until I use them in a different way. This is my passport. I'm a citizen of the United States of America. And since the USA is the greatest country on this earth, well, if you're from somewhere else, I'm better than you. Here's my weight. Tells you I enjoy strength training. But you know what? There are folks at the gym that lift 50, 75, 100-pound weights. I'm just a weakling in their eyes. Holding this If I say I'm a Christian, which means that God loves me, if you follow some other religion or no other religion at all, well then, God doesn't love you as much, and in fact, God might not love you at all. Looking at things that way puts such a different twist on who you are and how people are valued. This is what we often do as human beings, sinful human beings. We are all insecure, afraid that we don't matter, afraid that we don't measure up. We have a desperate need to belong, to be unique in who we are. So what do? Sometimes we claim an identity that puts us in a group with others, and then we seek to elevate ourselves above those who don't belong. You know how all this works. It's a game that all human beings play. And we play the identity game in the opposite way too. When we believe that our identity makes us less valuable or less important than others, that we're not good enough. Our gender, our skin color, our immigration status, our physical attributes, the work we do, our level of education, the house we live in, the car we drive. All of these things play into our identity. And sometimes we use them to judge ourselves as not enough, as less valuable than others. And I think, oddly enough, this is often the real root cause for people using their identity to elevate themselves and diminish others based on their identity. To lift myself up, I have to drag you down. Our insecurity drives our identity games, and the game is destructive to us, to our communities. And we've certainly seen this played out within our own country. And this is exactly what was happening back in the days in the church in Corinth. It was tearing their church apart. In response to their pastor, a man that we know as Cephas or Peter, wrote them a letter addressing the problem. We know that as 1 Corinthians, and we heard it read so beautifully today, and it's also printed right in your bulletin. So let's look at what St. Paul has to say about their identity crisis and how to resolve it. Isn't it amazing how quickly Paul's congregation had divided themselves up into factions? Some claimed to be followers of Paul, others followers of Apollos, who was a gifted teacher in the early church, and still others followed Cephas or Peter or Christ. And we can imagine, maybe out in the parking lot, all these Christians arguing about who was better and who was right. The identity game was tearing the church apart. And so Paul called for an end to that game. He pointed them back to their baptism, to their core identity as children of God. An identity that ran far deeper than the factions into which the community had divided itself. Paul put it this way in another letter that he wrote. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female, for all of you are one in Jesus Christ. That's in Galatians 3. Those words, that's the both reality and the mystery of our faith. We are a people who dare to believe that we are in Christ. And by that, I mean that we are children of God. claimed by God, and one body of Christ. Think about how that fulfills our need to belong and our need to be unique. It is a gift of grace that we belong to the body of Christ, and we each have a unique role to play in that body. But sometimes, don't you think we really find it hard to live into that reality? We struggle with our insecurity, our need to belong and to be recognized as unique. And so we claim all sorts of other identities and use them to elevate or diminish ourselves and others. I think we all struggle with this. And so I thought it might be helpful to talk with some of my neighbors and friends to consider this question around the identity issue, to hear about their struggles and how they seek to be grounded in their identity as children of God. So the first question, this identity game starts pretty early in life. What's your earliest memory of how you claimed an identity that you thought made you better or worse than others? I can start with that. My handwriting has never been very neat. It never has been, and it's getting worse instead of better. So my girlfriend Lori, when I was in elementary school, had the most beautiful handwriting. So when mine was looked at, I just said, well, I'm left-handed, so my handwriting will never be pretty. That was an identity I assumed. Jason said, I would say that the first identity that I claimed was that I thought made me better than other people was I was a really fast runner. I remember challenging kids when I was young, as young as first grade, and raced to races across the playground. Being fast was my identity on the playground, in soccer, football, baseball, basketball. Since I'm short, it was about the only thing I had going for me. Marlene said, my earliest memory of identity was deeply connected to race. As a minority child growing up in South Central Texas, I was reminded over and over again that society considered me to be less than Caucasian children. I have memories of my family not being served in restaurants and having to leave. I also have vivid memories of not being allowed to swim in public swimming pools. Being identified early in my life solely by race was difficult. And as it was so very negative, it has had a huge impact on my life. Question two, in what ways do you struggle with identity issues? Noreen said, I have a tendency to allow other people to define me. I often find myself wanting to be what people want or expect me to be. Jim said, I struggle with being good enough. Am I a good enough husband? Am I a good enough father? Am I a good enough friend? There are places in my life where I struggle with identity as it is connected to how the world defines success. And I struggle at times with living up to the world's standards of what all these identities mean. Question three. What does your identity in Christ matter to you? Todd said, I would say that my identity following Christ matters to me because I've organized a lot of aspects of my life. What I've done, what I'm doing, and what I plan to do around following where I feel Jesus is leading. Following Jesus has shaped many of the decisions that I made over the last 15 years or so. And it is really hard to even think of what I would be doing if I wasn't doing what I'm doing now. It's been that much of an organizing principle in my life. And Sandy said, my identity in Christ matters to me as I reflect on how I view myself and how I perceive others view me. I work hard at accepting that I am a God's precious child. that I have Jesus to cling to. And he is constantly with me, even when I don't feel it. I pray for his guidance and direction. Quite often it is after I have messed something up. Anybody identify with that? I believe and trust that I am forgiven and I am loved. And question four was, how do you stay connected to God? Paul said, I engage in a daily spiritual practice that has disciplined me into reminding myself that what the world tells me about my identity, or even what I tell myself about my identity, is not really my identity. What God calls me is what is true. And God has called me God's child, loved and forgiven. And that makes all the difference. Bill said, I think that like a lot of things in life, whether it is gardening, training for something, having a good marriage, I know that I need to put something into it in order to get something out of it. So to me, that means regular devotions, asking God into my everyday, and passing on my faith to my son each day in our routine to in our home. I am constantly staying in touch with Jesus throughout my day. It's that constant contact that I think keeps me grounded. Liz said, and there's copies of Church of Christ in our home back in the back. You can grab one. She said, every morning before my feet hit the ground, I read Christ in Our Home and pray about my day. I've done this for at least 50 years. Good track record. Kim says, I stay grounded in Christ through various practices. One is taking time to read scripture, then sit in silence, allowing God's love to flow through me. So what is in your identity box? Oh, this also tells you I like coffee. What's in your identity box? Weights? Passport? Bible? Pictures? ID cards? All of these things. If I asked you, tell me who you are, how would you respond? There is a sheet in the back of the church. It's about my identity in Jesus. And it's a whole list of different readings that you can do, all identified by book and chapter and verse, as to what your identity is in Jesus Christ. It lists several of these scripture verses that describe who we really are because of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. I want to challenge you to pick one of those up and to spend some time reading and reflecting on these passages of Scripture and let them help inform your sense of identity. Because if you're like me in any way, shape, or form, it's really good to be reminded daily as to what my identity really is and that I am more than what's in my box. Amen.